Welcome to our Cartney video titled, How Can I Get Past My Stage Fright? Our guest today is Dr. David Fish.
I'm Dr. David Lee Fish, and I am a music educator, a musician, and I also, as an outgrowth of that, I am have become an expert on stage fright.
Well, that's a scary topic, pun intended, for a lot of people. Can you tell us what really causes stage fright?
It's interesting, and it's something that is a little mysterious in a way. And I actually boiled it down to three factors, and it's this simple. You perform something for someone. That someone judges you in some way. And that judgment would, if it's negative, would constitute a threat. So that's it. So that, you know, when you say perform, that could be as formal as you standing as a musician or an actor on a stage. It could be you as a business person speaking to, you know, in a conference room. It could be you talking, doing a cold call with a customer over the phone or an athlete on the field. It's just you performing something for someone. And somehow that someone judges you, or at least you feel he or she's judging you, or they are judging you, right? And if that judgment, if it were negative, if it would constitute a threat for you, you got stage fright.
That makes a lot of sense. Even people at the highest levels experience stage fright. So is there a cure for it?
No, there is absolutely not a cure for stage fright. Here's why. If those factors happen, right, it is just so ingrained in us when we sense a threat to feel fear. It's beyond our conscious thought. You know, that's back in that flight or fight part of our brain that just instinctively, automatically responds. So, and it's like saying, often it's said when you're talking about a cure for stage fright, it'd be about the same thing as saying there's a cure for being angry. In other words, I'll never be angry again in my life, right? There's a cure for sadness. I'm never going to be sad in my life again. Yeah, you know, the psychologists call that a dead man goal, right? It's a type of goal that only a dead man can fulfill, right? Only a dead man doesn't become sad or so. Same way. If you say that I'm never going to get stage fright again, you're saying I will never be afraid again. That's not human.
So then is it the performer's job to just forget about all that, just ignore it and barrel through it? Or is there something that they can do to kind of relieve that anxiety?
Yeah, and there absolutely is something they can do to relieve it, to find, you know, what I call it, find their way beyond it. You halfway said it correctly, Vinny. It's not forgetting it, but do you know what mindfulness is? Are you familiar with mindfulness?
I do, but why don't you explain it for the artist watching this video?
All right. The psychologist that developed the concept of mindfulness, it's the basic human ability to be fully present, aware of where we are and what we're doing, and not overly reactive or overwhelmed by what's going on around us, right? There we have all sorts of informal terms for being in the zone, caught up with something, on fire, in the moment, right? And we've all experienced it, whether it's, you know, playing sports, reading a book, watching an engrossing movie, that mindfulness is just that being fully absorbed in what you're doing. And if you're a musician, you know, most of us musicians know that. And we live for that, right? As musicians. That's those peak moments where kind of like everything else melts away and we're just fully absorbed into making music, that's a mindful moment, right? So it's the way beyond stage fright is being able to bring forth, if you will, that mindful state of mind.
So what does that look like? In other words, what can an artist do in that situation?
I've come up with what I call the READ method. It's an acronym, R-E-A-D. And the first one is, remember why you're doing what you're doing, right? If it may mean putting it on a note card or a sticky note and putting it on the podium next to you. Why am I doing this? A classic example I like to think of is the father that gets up to speak at his daughter's wedding. And it just terrifies him, and he just wants to run away from the wedding reception. Well, you know, the first thing is to remind yourself, why are you doing this, right? I'm doing this because I love my daughter, and this is an important moment for her, and I'm an important person in her life. And she asked me to do this. So first part of that read is to remember. Then the second thing is not to fight your fear. Don't fight your stage fright. Instead, just engage with what you're doing. Your frightened thoughts are going to come to mind. Just refocus on what you're doing. Refocus on the wedding speech you're giving. Refocus on your performance. Refocus on your speech that you're giving, right? And sometimes you have to do this just over and over and over. What helps with engaging is don't fight the fear, accept it. Having stage fright means you're perfect. You're perfectly human, right? So there's nothing wrong with you for being afraid. You're not broken for being afraid. In fact, often, typically, the fear, and I said before that, it, you know, the negative evaluation that you would get would be constitute a threat. Well, you know, sometimes it kind of seems silly. You know, why do I get nervous when I'm talking to a waitress at a restaurant, right? My parents were very nervous about that sort of thing for some reason, right? And they wouldn't want to do it. Didn't want to go to restaurants because they didn't want to have to engage with waitresses. It would, you know, cause performance anxiety for them. Well, you know, if you the way to figure out what the deep fear is that you're experiencing is to say, okay, and so if that happened, then what, right? So, for example, let me do a different example for it. I had directed a popular music program at Catawba College for many years, and I had popular performers study under me. There was a wonderful singer-songwriter that I taught who just had this fear of his voice cracking when he performed. And it just kind of doubled them up with anxiety. And it was so, on the surface of it, was so stupid. I mean, Jim, you're a great performer. You've got lots of talent. The audience is with you. If your voice cracked, they're not going to care, right? So I said, but that's the surface fear. If we go below that, we're going to find that there are more consequential things that you're really afraid of. For one is, well, maybe it'll happen again. And that happens often in sports. You'll hear sometimes of like a pitcher who all of a sudden loses control of his pitches over a period of time. Or a golfer who starts having problems putting. It's called the nips. In sports, they get the nips. So he was getting the nips thinking about his voice cracking. So if it happened once, it could happen again. And I guess it did happen to him once. So you start thinking it could happen again. If it did start happening a lot, people aren't going to come to hear me sing, perform. That means I'm not going to be able to have a career as a musician, and being a musician is something that's very important to me. It's very important in my life. So that's the reason he's scared. That's the reason that he got performance anxiety. In his case with his voice cracking, it really didn't have anything with his voice cracking. That was just the surface fear, the deep underlying fear. And the technique in psychology that they talk about to get to that is called the downward arrow. You just keep saying to yourself, and if that happened, then what? Okay. And if then that happened, then what? Right. So there's nothing you're going to be able to do about that. Going back to the Reed method here. Just accept it. And when those, fears come to mind, just re-engage with what you're doing. And you may have to do that time and time and time again. That's very normal, right? What you will find then is that the D part of that Reed method is that you will just naturally detach yourself from your anxiety. It'll melt away. Maybe not completely, but enough that you can have a more workable situation.
I love that. That's as practical as it gets.
You and I had a pre-conversation about this, and I am so frustrated by complex answers to stage fright. I mean, when you're giving that speech at your daughter's wedding, it's not going to be of any use to have a really complicated process to help you out of it. You need something that you can remember read that's as simple as a one-syllable word.
Is it beneficial at all to have a little bit of stage fright? Many people say if you don't have stage fright at all, it's a sign that you're overconfident.
Yeah, this kind of the, gratifying thing for me, fulfilling thing for me is I've thought about through this stuff a lot. And in ways that others haven't, at least that I know of. There's a misconception there. You often will hear artists say it's important to be a little nervous, right? I think that it's a misconception. Here's what happened. When you are nervous, your system, pours into your body from, I forget what the gland is, but it pours into your body adrenaline. And that's to help get you ready to fight or flee, right? You start taking in more oxygen. If the blood from your extremities goes away because you don't need them if you're in a flight or fight, right? Your digestion stops because you don't need to be digesting food when you're running away from a bear, right? So all of those things shut down because of adrenaline running through your system, right? And you recognize that as fear. Well, guess what? When you're excited in a positive way, adrenaline also gets released into your system. And so the symptoms of being afraid and being excited, our physical symptoms are exactly the same. So, when you hear, and this is very, very common, even with, well-known artists, you need to have a little stage fright. No, what you need is a little excitement.
So just real quickly, let's give a practical example. You're standing off stage, you're up next, and all of a sudden, you just start getting kind of jittery. What do you do?
Let's do it. Reed. Let's go through it. Reed. Okay. Why am I doing this? Remind yourself why you're doing this. I'm doing this because I want to become a professional performer, and this is a great opportunity to do that. But then all of those fearful thoughts come to mind. So just bring yourself back to what you're doing at the moment, which is basically standing there, but enjoy the other performer that's on stage at the moment, right? Accept that you are perfectly human in being anxious. There is nothing wrong with you for having anxiety, right? It makes you perfectly human. And then as you do that, you'll detach from your anxiety enough that it'll be a workable situation for you.
Thank you for your incredibly valuable insights. That concludes our video titled, How Can I Get Past My Stage Fright? With our guest, Dr. David Fish.